listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And with us today, Ron Chmielis, columnist with the Springfield Republican newspaper, and Mike Dobbs, managing editor of the Reminder newspapers. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
This week, lawyers for the Massachusetts House urged changes to how the branch handles allegations of sexual harassment involving lawmakers and staff. The report was commissioned after the Boston Globe detailed several alleged incidents, including one in which a female lobbyist said an unnamed legislator strongly implied he'd vote for a bill in exchange for sex. Many of the recommendations are aimed at protecting the confidentiality of individuals who are concerned they will face retaliation if they come forward with complaints against powerful legislators, and the proposals also include changes to how allegations are investigated. Ron, is all of this enough?
Well, it's a start. It's something they should do for now. I agree with what they're suggesting. I would say do it and see if it's enough. I can certainly understand women are afraid to come forward when there's legislators. They hear all the talk about how we're going to clean this up, but do you trust that talk? And I think they also would like some outside investigation other than a legislature investigating itself.
Mike, it looks like the next move belongs to lawmakers and mainly House Speaker Robert DeLeo. Do you see them taking any action here?
I would like to think that they would feel compelled at this point, given the attitude of the country and the Me Too movement, to try to do something that puts Massachusetts ahead of the game in terms of how these things are treated.
Meanwhile, this week, the Pioneer Valley Transit Authority, or PVTA, heard from customers about a proposed 25% fare increase along with possible service reductions and cuts. The agency says they aren't receiving enough money from the state and are expecting a $3 million deficit in the next fiscal year. One PVTA rider, Lorraine Crump of Springfield, says the changes would not be fair to those who are struggling financially and rely on the agency to get around.
Everywhere we go, it's more money, more money, more money, and less service.
And Governor Charlie Baker's budget proposal, the PVTA, is scheduled to be level funded from last year. Mike, when lawmakers start their own work on a spending plan for the state, is this something they need to look at changing?
This has been going on for years. The fact of the matter is the only regional transit authority that has a dedicated, steady, allocated source of funding is the MBTA, which gets part of our sales tax. The PVTA and other RTAs throughout the rest of the state struggle. This is inexcusable. We have talked more and more about the need of mass transit as an economic development tool in places like Hampshire County, Hamden County, Berkshire County, et cetera. We've got to do something, and the legislature needs to actually just stand up to this.
Ron, I've heard from a number of legislators in the Berkshires who are also concerned about the state of public transportation there. And to piggyback what Micah said, they also are very upset that part of their sales tax goes to the MBTA. What needs to change here? Does the money need to stay in the four western counties where it's collected?
That's what I would like to see. I'm very pessimistic about this, though. This comes at a time that western Massachusetts is losing several voices in its legislature in a situation where they never had enough voice in the first place. There's a death of Mr. Colcutt in Northampton. Two people are retiring. Stanley Rosenberg's no longer the Senate president. And this comes at a time when we really need to stand up, as Mike said, and say Western Mass should not be last on the list. This is incredibly important in this region, especially in this region, because people are spread out and they need this. But I worry that people won't be there to stand up and be heard and get it done.
Mike, what's your thoughts on what Ron has brought up about the lack of clout, perhaps, with this PVTA issue on Beacon Hill?
Ron's absolutely right. We do have, institutionally, we have a lack of clout. And then when you take away people who have been in key legislative leadership positions, now it gets worse. And this is not a new issue. This has been going on for years and years and years. And if Governor Baker is sincere about any sort of economic parity between eastern and western Massachusetts, this is one of those issues that I'd like to see him stand up to.
Marijuana regulators in Massachusetts this week voted to delay implementation of cannabis cafes and home deliveries of pot until at least the fall. This comes after Governor Baker and State Attorney General Maura Healey asked the Cannabis Control Commission to slow down as they roll out the new legal marijuana industry. Commission Chair Steve Hoffman calls the delay a grand compromise.
Let's explicitly lay out the issues that we need more information about. Let's put together a plan to address those issues. We'll reconvene in October to discuss it again, and we'll set a deadline to try to come up with draft regulations in February.
Retail sales of marijuana are still scheduled to start this July. Ron, did the board make the right call here?
You know, I'm very torn on this because, as I've said on this show before, I was against the referendum. I'm in no big rush to have all this happen. And yet, I have to go back to the fact that it's coming up on 2 years since that vote was made, and we always seem to have delay, and they never seem to be ready to move forward and settle this. I think I have to take the side of some of the marijuana people and say, when is this going to be decided and finalized? When are we going to have a set of regulations we can live with? Because months are turning into years. That's not right.
Mike, you've written about how some communities locally are looking at their own ordinances, including banning retail sales altogether. Do you think these changes at the state level to sort of slow things down a little bit will help or hinder those cities and towns?
It confuses people. It confuses local city councils. It confuses people about exactly what the state is going to propose and when they're going to propose it, because all they've heard since the referendum was passed is the state's going to work all this stuff out. And frankly, I think the state of Massachusetts has done a pretty spectacularly terrible job of working it all out. It indicates just how unprepared the legislature was in terms of understanding what the will of the people was on this issue.
And finally, hockey season continues on for the Springfield Thunderbirds of the American Hockey League. And while they've been struggling in the standing, they've been doing all right at the box office. They're averaging better than 4,700 fans a game. And that's more than some nearby AHL teams in bigger places such as Hartford and also in Bridgeport. This is, of course, after the Springfield Falcons left town amid trouble drawing fans a couple of years ago, and they were at the bottom of the league when they left. Ron, you wrote about this recently. How are the Thunderbirds getting more people to show up to their games?
They have tremendous marketing savvy. They understand social media, and they have people. They have a foundation of ownership. Now, Bruce Landon did a miraculous job to keep things together for all those years by himself, but it's not a one-man operation anymore. They've made it fun, and they've taken the issue up, we're about to leave off the table. And I think people are responding to that. I'm very excited about this because I thought this team would be gone a few years ago, and it's not going to be.
Mike, I know you're not a big sports fan, as you've told us on a number of occasions.
It's well established here.
But how important is it to Springfield to have a vital minor league hockey team, you know, from the economic development standpoint and just from the city's identity?
From both of those viewpoints, it's essential. It is essential. I mean, AHL hockey has been part of the fabric of this area, this community, for decades. And even though a guy like me who doesn't go to hockey games can tell you, it's very reassuring when you see the parking lots are filled, the restaurants are filled, people are bringing their families, they're going to this, they're having a good time, they're coming away with a very positive image of downtown Springfield. That's great.
All right, Mike Dobbs of the Reminder Newspapers and Ron Chmelis of the Springfield Republican, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of the Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.